Hello, can you hear me? This is Ben Greenfield. This is a special Sunday podcast episode. How's about that? A Sunday podcast episode. What? He's releasing a podcast episode on Sunday? Why? Well, because I was recently on a steelhead fishing trip with my kids, and we actually wound up at this magical place out in the wilderness called Life Water Ranch. We're not talking about like toadstools and elves and unicorns magical. We're talking about amazing ponds and hikes and praying mantis nests that my children ate, and I'm not kidding. All sorts of strange things that I decided to podcast about one night while my children and I were out there at Life Water Ranch fishing and hanging out with our guide, dude from gunsanddunns.com named Christopher Klotch. We decided to have some folks over for dinner and geek out on everything from a $17,000 air, light, water, and electricity machine to what kind of things make the DHA and fish oil more absorbable to ketosis for things like cancer and Alzheimer's. And we talked about a lot of stuff. We had some of the neighbors over for dinner out there in Kuski, Idaho, and just kind of gathered around. We had three microphones sitting at the table, kind of passed them around, had a little fireside chat, if you will, without the fire. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. Just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry. Throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lilacue.
Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Leela does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum Energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Leela Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Leela Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
Because your body naturally emits energy from your right hand and absorbs energy from your left. And so it pulls the energy through your body. And then these various frequencies all ring your DNA. So all DNA is made of is hydrocarbon chains, the chains of hydrogen and some other element. And so what you have is a dipole.
I've always said, when it comes to health, keep it simple. You know, get the good in, keep the bad out. Really. If you already got some bad in you, find ways to get rid of it.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
You need to work on your
teeth,
dog, man.
Well, I did press record since we're already talking about cool things. You know, if you're listening into this podcast and you're not here at dinner with us, you already know what's going on after listening to my introduction of today's podcast. But we're in kind of a small, intimate setting here, chowing down on my friend Chris Klontsch's amazing meal he's prepared. We have steelhead, wild-caught steelhead. We have beef heart from a cow named Blossom, which we all feel guilty about because it's probably a very cute cow. Right. You can't eat the heart of a cow named Blossom without feeling a little bit bad. We'll just imagine she was a naughty cow. Heart, great for your mitochondria. Great source of iron, wonderful organ meat. We've got a Brussels sprouts with bacon, some sweet potato mash, and a roasted chicken. So if there are long moments of bad radio here, long moments of silence and teeth licking and lip smacking, it's because we're all gathered around eating as we record. And the reason I flipped on the recorder as we are chatting is because we're already starting to talk about interesting things like apparently, Chris just informed us that there's a new wine company out that's adding ketones to wine to shift your body into ketosis while you're drinking alcohol. Sounds like a good way to spin just a few extra dials in the brain.
It was Dom D'Agostino who...
Now, if you want to say something, go ahead and get your face kind of up to the mic. Any of you tonight who are talking, definitely make sure you grab a mic if you need one, if you have something to say. And go ahead, Chris.
It was Dom D'Agostino who introduced me to it. And I think the thing that I found most amusing is I think he might have had just a little too much ketone wine, but I'll get you a link to put in the show notes for this.
Great. And Dominique D'Agostino, for those of you who don't know, he's one of the world's leading researchers on ketosis. He researches it for everything from like increasing breath hold time to decreasing the effects of like a hypoperfusion and low brain oxygenation in divers. As well as just basic things like fat loss or cognitive performance, which are other things you'd use ketones for. And apparently,
He now has a new enemy, Chris, who's come on the podcast telling us all that he gets drunk. So anyways, though, this is it's kind of a Q&A, but I also wanted to introduce you to the gentleman who curates the place where we're eating right now. We're out at a place backwoods of Idaho, somewhat, depending on your definition of backwoods. We're out near Kuski, Idaho. Well, this place is about 4 hours from my house. And it's a place called Lifewater Ranch. And when I first rolled in here, I thought that we were basically just going to be hanging out with a rancher out in the forest. And it turns out Sandy, the proprietor of this spot that we're at, he's actually really, really into, everything from cancer research to photo biomodulation. He had me hooked up to a light and sound an electricity frequency device last night. We've been talking a lot about water, ionizing your water, best water filtration methods, how you can make water more hydrating to the human body. Sandy, say hello so people can recognize your...
Hi, I'm Sandy.
So that's Sandy. And we've also got a crowd of other folks here at the table who just joined us here for dinner. And what you're about to hear is a bit of a Q&A. I know Mickey over here has some questions about Alzheimer's and cancer, and also a bit of chat between Sandy and I about some of the cool things that he has. Chris may have some things that he wants me to talk about because Chris, our fishing guide here, also known as Guns and Duns on the internet, he's a podcast listener and pretty familiar with a lot of the things that you guys might want to know about. We have a chiropractic doc at the end of the table. We have a couple of former school teachers, and then Mickey runs some of the farm out here, right? The source of all the fantastic wild meat and farmed meat that we're eating today. So, and of course, did you personally kill Blossom the cow or
no?
Okay,
she died of other causes.
She died of childbirth.
All right, died of childbirth. All right, yeah. So none of our vegan listeners have any right to be pissed at you. Then wasn't your fault she died?
No. Nope.
All right. So, since I have a plate full of food and Sandy's is somewhat empty, I'm going to start by asking you a question, Sandy. Mm-hmm. I figured we'd kick things off with a bang. What the heck is that crazy machine upstairs that you hooked me, both my kids, and Chris up to last night? Because I looked at my sleep data from my Ring this morning. Oh. My deep sleep was through the roof.
Oh, great.
I felt great afterwards. I was on there for 4 minutes. The kids were on there for 30 seconds. My boys, River and Taryn. Fill us in on what that was, because I'm pretty deep in the biohacking sector and with all these fancy devices that help people get healthier, and I'd never seen this before.
Well, the Vibe machine, now called the Quantum Pulse, was invented around 2000 by a ex-remote viewer and TV repairman in Colorado, Gene Kuntz. And he understood frequency.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Sure.
What is a remote viewer?
A remote viewer is a person who has psychically trained his mind to be able to see events either in distant places or in other times. So a remote viewer can sometimes predict the future. They can spy on people who think they're in privacy. It's very experimental, promoted by the CIA. And... you know, so there's some movies, I believe, out there on remote viewing.
Interesting.
That have that as a theme. But, you know, I don't know too much about it, but he was a very interesting guy to talk to.
Well, you just lost half our listeners who hate conspiracy theorists, but ahead.
I'm full of conspiracy theories. In fact, I bought this ranch.
I saw the Chemtrails book in your
yeah, I bought this ranch as a bug out for Y2K, so I was expecting problems, and we didn't have any, but that was okay. And it's turned into kind of a resort that I have a dream of turning this into a natural healing logistics support center, where people who are sick and do not have the energy or the knowledge to be able to help themselves can come out here. And I mean, I wouldn't prescribe anything, but I would do whatever they wanted me to do to assist them in taking care of their health, because we have a perfect environment here in that we have water that comes right out of the ground from mm-hmm. above the property, that's just pristine, and lots of it. We have a variety of herbs that grow here naturally. We have, and of course, I built the property up with a swimming pool and a hot tub and a pool table and stuff like that to try and make it a really comfortable place for people. So my heart is...
And even when you're talking about like a hot tub and a pool and stuff like that, everything's like mineral clean.
Yeah, we have a saltwater chemistry pool, and we have minimal chlorine in the hot tub.
Not wanting this to be some giant commercial for Life Water Ranch, but I want you guys who are listening in to know about this.
Well, that's what I want. It's a giant commercial for Life Water Ranch.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. He wants that. I mean, yeah. Sandy's a former Microsoft employee who was definitely steeped in computer programming, talking about Y2K, and you know he knew a lot before he even came out here. And I've been impressed with the property. I've been hiking out in the wilderness every day with my boys. We're surrounded by elk and moose and grouse and turkey and big gray wolves. Gotta be.
You saw a moose?
No, we did not see. Oh. We saw the tracks of a moose.
Yeah.
So you built this place up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now sitting out here. Nobody knows about it, mm-hmm. which I was shocked when I pulled up here because it's this gorgeous place out. You know, again, not really out in the middle of nowhere. You fly into the Spokane Airport, you can be here in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, are there other airports?
Flying to Lewiston or Greensville.
Lewiston, you can get to Greensville. Born. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewiston, Idaho. Okay. So anyways, it's Life Water Ranch. And by the way, if you're listening in, you can access all the show notes for today's episode at bengreenfieldfitness.com/lifewater. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/lifewater. So I'll be sure and include helpful links to you guys on this stuff if you want to take a deeper dive into remote viewing and conspiracy theories. Anyways, though, back to the topic at hand. Sandy knows I love him. But the vibe.
Yeah. Okay, the vibe. Anyway, Gene invented a machine to energize water, and he created a blue energetic water that when he drank it, he felt like $1 million. It was probably all, I don't know, if he oxygenated it as well, but it was just energized. And he found that it only held a charge for 12 hours. Like, he couldn't bottle it and ship it because it would just go flat. So
when you say the water was energized, Are you saying that it was actually structured?
I believe so.
We've interviewed.
I don't know how much study he did on the water. It just basically almost glowed blue. It had a lot of energy.
It actually glowed.
I've heard that term. And he says a little bit. Gene says a little bit about it on his website. Which the Vibe Machine was renamed to the Quantum Pulse. He put the Vibe Machine out around 2000, and it rapidly became the most in-demand alternate healing device for about a year. Very popular. But they were trying to go legitimately through the FDA and get approval, and they were sending it out to colleges for studies and trying to do everything above board, and the FDA ended up shutting them down, forcing every purchaser, myself included, to sign a contract that they would never advertise the device. But people were having parties with especially up in, I think, Wyoming, a bunch of people would just have a living room party and have everybody in the living room and turn the machine on, and everybody would get cured of their problems, whatever they were. If it didn't matter if it was stage 4 cancer or acne, didn't matter. Because the concept behind the Vibe Machine
sounds like a real hoot.
It is.
Come over for a party, have some wine.
But it's very different. A lot of people think, like Ben mentioned, a frequency device. A lot of people think of this device as something like a Rife machine. A Rife machine is a targeted frequency machine that explodes particular microbes. Ben on the circuit, on the frequency. The Vibe machine is a broad spectrum frequency generator that rings your DNA and resonates with your organs. It turns out, by happenstance, if you're not a creationist...
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
Every organ vibrates at a different frequency. Like, we were talking about this last night. I wear this cheesy device around my neck now called the Love Tuner.
Mm-hmm.
And you blow on it, and it vibrates at the hertz frequency associated with your heart, the emotion of love. And people think this is woo-woo, but anybody listens to music and feels good after you listen to music, or feels bad after you listen to... disruptive music that doesn't vibrate with the frequencies that are in accordance with the way that your cells vibrate, you don't feel as good. Well, my question for you is, if every organ kind of vibrates at a slightly different frequency, does this thing produce a whole bunch of different frequencies?
It does. And it turns out what it does is it generates these broad spectrum frequencies and includes scalar waves that then go through a Tesla coil that sets a 70 millivolt offset, DC offset onto the voltage of the signal, which is the same potential that a healthy cell membrane has across it. So it tends to boost the cell membrane's potential electronically to be 70 millivolts. Then it goes through these 12 vials of noble gases, xenon, argon, krypton, nitrogen, oxygen, helium, hydrogen, all the gases are in these tubes. And they, because this is a broad spectrum frequency, the ones that resonate with those gases light those tubes up. Some of the light you can't see because it's in the ultraviolet spectrum or the infrared spectrum. It is kind of cool, though.
You flipped off the light. And we'll put a picture of this in the show notes as well.
So
of what this thing looks like, of me sitting in front of it getting it done, because it looks like something out of a sci-fi novel.
Right. So these noble gases vibrate at certain resonant frequencies, and those resonant frequencies create light, biophotonic light, at those resonant frequencies. And those resonant frequencies happen to match your organs. So maybe argon rings your heart, and maybe xenon rings your liver, and maybe oxygen rings your kidneys. And so this gives off this light that goes through your body and resonates with your organs. In addition, the broad spectrum is run through a capacitor network and an antenna that forces the field into you. And you also hold Mobius coils, which help pull the energy into your body.
So you're holding like this coil in each hand.
Right.
Yeah.
And because your body naturally emits energy from your right hand and absorbs energy from your left. And so it pulls the energy through your body. And then these various frequencies all ring your DNA. So all DNA is made of is hydrocarbon chains, the chains of a hydrogen and some other element. And so you have what you have is a dipole. The hydrogen is a positive charge, and then the other element is a negative charge. And that dipole has a certain resonant frequency. And because we're pumping in cosmic ray level frequencies, they all ring from this broad spectrum of frequency. And so your DNA starts to vibrate at the molecular level. And that causes your cells to wake up, your mitochondria to wake up, and it brings the energy levels of your whole system up to optimum level and down if they're over. So if you have energy blockages in your body from, if you've ever studied William Reich or those kind of ideas, there or acupuncture, energy flows can get blocked. And this helps balance everything.
For those of you who aren't woo-woo, it's just basic quantum physics.
Right.
Is a battery.
It's just resonant stuff. Now, I graduated from Berkeley with a systems engineering degree. Which is systems engineering is all about resonant frequencies and understanding the resonance of systems. And so this fits right in with what I know. And of course, it also emits scalar waves, which are longitudinal EM waves. I don't know if you ever studied them, but they're
EM waves, meaning electromagnetic waves.
Well, there's electromagnetic waves that are transverse, and there's electromagnetic waves that are longitudinal. Transverse are sine waves that interact with everything. Longitudinal go forward and backward, and they tend to go through anything. You cannot shield yourself from scalar waves. They go superluminal speeds, and their harmonics increase as they go higher. So when you...
Did you say superluminal?
Yes, meaning faster than the speed of light.
Okay.
And their harmonics increase as they go. So when you like play a C of a C note with a longitudinal EM wave or a scalar wave, the harmonics are actually stronger than the original note. So these go through the universe at infinite speed and ring the universe. Longitudinal EM waves or scalar waves are really interesting, and they could affect the spiritual realm. Because they're up there in the high frequencies, and they increase the resonant harmonics.
What are they produced by? Like in is this just stuff from sunlight? Or
no, they're not produced by sunlight. I don't know how you produce a scalar wave. I mean,
because I know, for example, like the Earth emits a frequency. You know, this is why it feels so good when you go out barefoot. Like after I'm on an airplane, the first thing I do is I go out barefoot. The Earth emits a frequency. It's called the Schumann resonance. It's 7-point-something hertz, like 7.38 hertz-ish. And you stand on that, and it actually, as I'm chewing on a lemon, this is great podcasting, it actually readjusts your body to fix any electrical abnormalities. For example, if I'm flying on a jet 40,000 feet above the ground, I've lost complete touch with the planet. So my body tends to take on a lot of positive ions. So Sandy mentioned briefly that the optimum millivolt potential across a cell is 70 millivolts.
If I'm chock full of positive ions from Wi-Fi routers or airplanes or Bluetooth signals or cell phones or whatever, that'll drop to 50 mm-hmm. or 40 or 30 or whatever. So by exposing yourself to more negative ions and exposing yourself to standing outside barefoot, there are even companies now that make shoes that have carbon plugs on the bottom of the shoes that allow you to do this and not look like a freaking, you know, terrorist running around barefoot. I guess terrorists don't run around barefoot. They run around with bombs in their shoes. You want to look like a hippie running around barefoot, I guess. You can actually kind of reset your body. And there are devices that do that. You know, like I wear one on my collarbone called a Delta Sleeper that does the same thing through your collarbone. You can also just go outside and stand on the ground, stand in the dirt. So when he's talking about these frequencies and about the millivolt potential of a cell and the human body being like a battery, first of all, it's an expensive machine, but I want to use this to drive home a point. You know, you have one. Obviously, if people come out to the ranch, they can just sit here and use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes it takes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, earlier, I think even before we started recording, I mentioned the fact that there are all sorts of hidden variables in our environment that we don't think about, right? We can think about eating sweet potatoes and salad and this fantastic meal that we've just had. But when it comes to adjusting the electrical potential of the human body, how you feel, how you look, how you perform, how your body actually functions from a physiological standpoint, it's all based on the health of your cellular membranes. So when you look at air, you know, what kind of air are you breathing? Is it chock full of negative ions from trees and moving water? Or are you indoors all day? And if you're stuck indoors all day because you work at an office, do you have something you can hack in your environment? Like Amazon, for example, you can buy a negative ion generator for like $20. Water is another biggie, right? You can buy a super duper expensive water machine. We'll talk about water here in a second. Or you could take water, put a pinch of sea salt in it, and set it out in sunlight. And all of a sudden you have water that moves and has minerals in it and is charged and is energized. And you don't have to necessarily go out and buy something fancy as much as, you know, go outside barefoot on the ground, breathe fresh air from trees and near moving water on a regular basis. Introduce these type of things into your life, like thinking before you just drink a plastic bottle of water and instead use glass water or good tap water, and you put some minerals in it and you set it out in the sunlight. And then electricity, right? What form of electricity are you exposing yourself to? Because Wi-Fi signals, you know, Bluetooth signals, those all have a significant impact on everything from cellular membrane potential to neural tissue to, you know, the health of children's rapidly growing and dividing cells. So yeah, there's a lot of things like air, light, water, and electricity that go way above and beyond just eating healthy and exercising. And, you know, Sandy's machine is a perfect example of how we could really amplify this with technology. But it's not as though nature also doesn't offer some of these things to us right outside if we actually take advantage of that and kind of give a middle finger, so to speak, to always being tied to a smart home and a Bluetooth appliance that speaks to your phone and, you know, drinking fancy plastic bottled water and all these other things that tend to do a lot more damage to our bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, Sandy, before we launch into kind of more of a Q&A style format, because I know a lot of folks have questions, you have some interesting thoughts on water, and you were showing me this water that you get from around here as well. Can you explain what that is?
Well, you know, I moved out here in the middle of nowhere, to get out of the RF fog you mentioned, and also to get good water.
The RF fog meaning all the all electricity.
Yeah, I can turn off the Wi-Fi here, and I could even shut off the power. It'd be very nice to do that. I have a friend who actually is rebuilding his house and putting switches in his rooms to turn off all the AC.
That's how we
to
built
room.
Our whole house.
Yeah,
our entire house back in Spokane. There's a kill switch in every bedroom. Right, you can shut off all that non-native EMF and all that power that our human bodies didn't develop to be able to handle. But then there's also things like biological LED bulbs in all the rooms, meaning that, you know, a normal light bulb kicks out a bunch of blue light or a very, very high frequency. You already learned about frequencies, but blue light shuts down your melatonin production at night. So getting massive amounts of that from sunlight and things like that in the morning is important, but at night it interrupts sleep. And we don't have a Wi-Fi router in our house. Every single room, if you want to connect to the internet, you have to plug a cable into the wall. Mm-hmm. And then plug the other end in your computer and hardwire in via Ethernet, because we don't want those signals. Like, it's a stupid home. It's the complete opposite of a smart home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important to think about how you can replicate, how you can hack your environment to operate in a way that's more appropriate from an ancestral standpoint.
Right.
So anyways, back to the water.
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I moved out here, was to get some good aquifer, you know, water. And we are at the headwaters of Clear Creek, which feeds into the Clearwater River. And it's just beautiful water. It's got that alpine mineral look that I've seen in Switzerland and other places. It's just an ideal water. Now, I don't go down to the stream and drink it. I have a well, but I haven't tested the water here, but I'm sure because it's coming out of the ground, it's pretty clean stuff. I've had my well tested. It
depends on your
fine.
Neighbors, right?
Yeah, it depends on your neighbors, but luckily it comes out of the ground just 3 feet above my right. property line.
Oh, so you're, really about, you're not no, talking about the water from your well.
No, the water in the stream. The stream comes right out of the ground from above my property, so it's not exposed to cattle and other things that might pee in it or whatever. It's very low probability it has Giardia or something, but, you know, I'd filter it or ozonate it, but it's high mineral content. It's natural water that's right out of the ground, and you give it a little bit of time. If you ever heard of Schomburger, who did a lot of water studies early in the 19th and the 20th century, he realized that there was kind of an energy cycle of water. When it goes in the when it's in the sky, it picks up a lot of energy from the sun, and it evaporates into clouds, and it loses its energy signatures. And then it rains down on the earth, and the rain is basically dead water because it has no energy in it. Picks up a little bit from sunlight as it comes down, but then it goes down into the deep aquifers of the earth and may sit there for years, decades. And it's absorbing the signatures of the rock underneath the ground.
And then minerals.
It's getting mineralized, but it's also absorbing the energy signatures of those minerals. And then it comes, you know, it's being super filtered, and then it finally comes up out of the ground.
Super filtered by the rocks.
By the rocks. Yeah. And it comes out of the ground, and it's still kind of dead water, but it's dead mineralized water. But then it flows along the rocks in the sunshine and picks up the sun. The sun gives it the energy of life, and the minerals, as it's flowing through the stream, filter it and also give it more energy signatures. And so
you're talking, when you say energy signatures and water that's energized, you're talking about the actual atomic vibration of the hydrogen and the oxygen molecules.
Right. Just like homeopathy, where you can have water that has no contaminants in it at all, yet it carries the signature of a contaminant that was used to make it. It carries all these signatures. And after about, Schomburger says, you know, 100 to 200 feet, out once it's come out of the ground, is the ideal point to take it out of the ground, which is right where I am. So you go to the stream and you take that out. According to Schomburger, that's the optimal life value energy signature of the water that you can have. And then you drink that, and it goes and wakes you up.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
And then, water.
Even with our well, like we get water out of a well. And what I have it do is it comes into the house. It's got a little bit of iron and manganese in it, so I pass it through a filter. But even after it's sit in the well, come through tubes, come through pipes, it's lost a lot of what it had when running over all those underground rocks. And so I actually pass it through. It's like a little indoor water filter. It's called a structured water filter, right? It's more or less just a series of glass beads that the water like swoops through before it winds up in my tap or my shower. So I'm actually drinking or showering in water after it goes through this whole house structured water filter, water that is not only more hydrating to the body, but there's even this fascinating man, a physician I interviewed on my podcast named Dr. Thomas Cowan, and he has this fascinating theory about how even your heart is not a pump. Your heart actually relies upon the electrical attraction of water as it travels through blood vessels, very similar to the way that the water would travel through plants. And so if you're drinking water that is actually structured properly, your heart winds up having less strain on it because it doesn't have to actually work quite as hard as it contracts to push that water through the vessels. So it's really interesting how many different variables water affects. So,
I just recently found it about that the Hex water helps promote capillary flow because the electrical characteristics of the water literally electrically pull it through the capillaries.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly. Same way that plants move water up and down through the plant. It's an area of a positive charge inside towards the interior of the tube, an area of negative charge towards the outside of the tube, and the water just moves up based on that gradient of the negative positive charges attracting each other. So it happens the same way in your body. If you're properly hydrated with the right kind of water versus, you know, plastic bottled water.
And it's a subtle thing. I mean, you're not going to feel like a brick hits you just because you drink this water. But over time, it does make a big difference. And the vibe, this kind of ties into the vibe machine, because the inventor of the vibe machine was a guy named Mark Lukowski, and he wrote a book called The Secret of Life. So I would look that up on Amazon. And he discusses how, you know, resonates DNA. He did some experimentation with germanium with cancer and found that cosmic rays was curing the cancer. And he came up with this theory of how cells fight each other in a frequency domain. So there's a cell with a resonant frequency that it's its own healthy frequency. And there's another cell that has its own resonant frequency. And these two are different than each other. And Mr. Lukowski hypothesizes that the two cells literally fight each other using frequencies. And so your body has its own natural resonant frequencies, and it has foreign bodies in there that generate other frequencies. And you have this battle going on all the time of these frequencies fighting each other. And so Mr. Lukowski's book explains that thinking, and then he explains how he invented the multi-wave oscillator with the help of Nikola Tesla, which generates these scalar waves and these high range of frequencies in the cosmic ray level. He was doing a study of water in Paris and discovered that people with cancers were statistically showing up more in certain areas, and the correlation showed up to align with the water they were drinking, not with the ground they were over. He first thought it was the ground they were over, but it was correlating that he did the water, and it was. And sometimes the water was piped in from somewhere else, and sometimes it was local. So this made everything make sense, that the water was picking up the energy signature of the minerals, and the minerals were somehow picking up or reflecting or attenuating the cosmic rays. And these frequencies were getting either imposed into the water or not. And then that seemed to affect the incidence of cancer. So that's when he developed the microwave or the multi-wave oscillator, which is the core of the vibe machine, which then goes through a Mercata-shaped antenna and through the rest of it to enhance it and get it into your body.
It's fascinating. And again, I'm going to put a picture of what this thing looks like over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/lifewater if you want to check it out.
Yeah, if you go to the quantumpulse.com, you'll find
Quantum Pulse,
Where you can get one.
Yeah, and it's expensive. It's like
$17,000, at least when I paid for it.
So you might want to start with air, light, water, and electricity, and maybe just come out and pay Sandy a visit at some point and check out his place out here, the Lifewater Ranch, and I'll link to that in the show notes as well. Now, what I'd like to do is answer questions that you guys have, because I know, for example, Mickey over here, I had a little notebook out with some questions, and I don't know if the rest of you have things you want to pick my brain or pick Sandy's brain about, but I'd love to, in between mouthfuls of finishing off the skin of this fantastic steelhead, fill you guys in on anything you want to know about. You know, again, sleep, hormones, anything.
I have a question
how babies are made. we'll toss a mic around. What we'll do is...
Go ahead, just ask a question. What
I have a question regarding smart meters. I mean, there's a lot of, EMFs out there that we have to be concerned with. And obviously, speaking about the electromagnetic frequencies of our bodies, this is really affecting us. So we got these smart meters out there. Is there a way to shield them?
Well, what is a smart meter? From my understanding, and I don't know exactly what's in there, but here's what potentially in there. I'm an electrical engineer, graduated from UC Berkeley with a WCS double major. So, and I spent 20 years at Microsoft doing software, but I understand electrical systems, a systems engineer. So I understand theoretically what's possible. These meters, first of all, they can be remotely read. That's one definition of a smart meter. The second definition of smart meter is that they not only note that you used X kilowatts today, but they know exactly how many kilowatts you used every millisecond of every day, and they can upload that through the power system or through maybe radio antennas up to satellites. They can upload data that's very detailed about how you use your electricity. And then you tie that in with the Internet of Things, and let's say you have a smart refrigerator that's on the Internet, and it's posting to the internet usage statistics and when it turns on and when it doesn't. And then this can be correlated with the detailed data of the smart meter to be able to tell, oh, they return their refrigerator on and it draws exactly 2.8 watts and we know that what it looks like and it changes the power factor by this much or whatever. And so they can, with AI, especially AI, with all this data coming in for the Internet of Things combined with a meter that's giving you precise information of your electricity usage, they can know when your thermostat went on. They know when your refrigerator went on. They know when you turn the toaster on. They know.
They being the utility company?
Right, because all these smart devices can tell them exactly, explicitly, or they can implicitly figure this out by the signature of the load. Because every load has an impedance. An impedance is not just a resistance, but it's also a frequency.
So are you saying that your concern about smart meters, because my concern about them has always been the, and I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
I called my utilities company and made sure that my meter wasn't a smart meter because of the amount of dirty electricity that it can produce. Mm-hmm. It can be as simple as picking up the phone, calling your utilities company and finding out. But you're saying you're more concerned about the fact that you could be spied on?
That's one aspect. The other thing is you're right. They do emit a high amount of EM radiation, especially if they're transmitting through the air to a receiving tower somewhere miles away. They might need several watts of power to transmit the data up. A lot of times they can go through the power system. Here's an interesting problem, is they transmit... They put carrier waves on top of your 60-cycle power coming in through your transformers and everything. And in order to facilitate the transfer of this data that rides on top of your power line, they're trying to remove or modify the isolation transformers in the system. And as a guy named Dave Hinkson has pointed out, that is a pretty smart guy from around here who's invented some interesting stuff. Anyway... They're actually making the grid less safe and more susceptible to an EMP attack because they're removing isolation transformers to let the signals go up so they can get all this big data and do all the cool things they want to do with it. And I think initially,
interesting,
this is all,
especially considering you could push a button on your refrigerator now and like send Amazon a message to buy milk.
Right,
people could know if you're like buying milk or eggs or birth control pills or anything else.
Right.
Interesting.
So I think initially it's benign and everybody wants to just benefit from this, but we are building this electronic technological prison for ourselves that eventually will be irresistible. You'll have an AI consciousness mm-hmm. that'll be able to direct everything and you'll be able to take all this big data and you'll be able to do miraculous things.
So you're saying you need to sell your Tesla and buy guns and move to Idaho?
I don't think you're going to stop this, but... You know, buying guns in Idaho is not a bad idea short term, but it's not gonna save you long term. I thought moving out here, I might be secure from Y2K, and I turned out 3 days before Y2K, my inverters blew their FETs because of a miswiring mistake, and my whole system was worthless on Y2K, which was to me God telling me, "You're not gonna figure this out and fix it yourself. You're gonna have to rely on me," and that's really where our only security is, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's it on smart meters. What other questions do you guys have?
Mickey, yeah,
I got one. Well, Ben, thanks for, first of all, for coming out and taking questions. It's awesome. Appreciate it. My wife has breast cancer, and we have chosen not to go the conventional route as far as trying to find a method of healing her. So we didn't want to do the cut and the burning and the poison. And so we are strongly... believe that it's from estrogen induced cancer, mm-hmm. breast cancer. So you mentioned something about hormones. I don't know if you have any more natural ways to lower estrogen levels,
mm-hmm.
Breast or cancer in general. So
yeah, I mean, when you look at estrogen levels, the estrogens are primarily processed by the liver. And I'm not a doctor. I don't want mm-hmm. this to be misconstrued as medical advice. But there are certain compounds that you can take that help the liver to cleanse itself. DIM is one, magnesium is another, that can really help out with liver health and estrogens. And there are a lot of different things that can assist with liver detoxification, but it all comes down to phase 1 and phase 2 pathways, right? So, you know, we were talking about activated charcoal, right? That's something that is a binder that can help to remove things mm-hmm. after other things have worked on them in the liver, mm-hmm. which would be a phase 1 antioxidant. So, some of the more powerful ones for phase 1 would be glutathione and also something called N-acetylcysteine. Glutathione and N-acetylcysteine are mm-hmm. great if you've been out drinking.
They're also very, very good for the liver in any other situation, you know, pharmaceutical consumption, processing estrogens, et cetera. After phase one, there's a phase two detox process, and that's where things are bound and removed. So that's when you look at binders. Chlorella is one example that you would get from like LG or in supplement form. Cilantro is also a binder. Charcoal is a binder, but having both the phase one and the phase two antioxidants can help out quite a bit. The phase one and the phase two liver cleansing agents. Now, when it comes to cancer itself, we all tend to think of cancer as a state of undifferentiated cellular growth. What I mean by that is that, you know, we think about the tumor rapidly dividing, and the way that you would destroy that is to, you know, radiate the tumor and cause it to stop dividing. But in fact, when you look at a cancer cell and you look at specifically the mitochondria in a cancer cell, what happens is that the mitochondria in a cancer cell begin to only process glucose for energy. And a byproduct of processing glucose is massive amounts of the creation of lactic acid. So you have a very acidic cell churning out massive amounts of lactic acid. One of the best ways to stop that from occurring is to cut off the main energy source to the cell that it's asking for. And what would that main energy source be if it's only able to produce energy anaerobically without oxygen? It's glucose. It's sugar. So one of the most therapeutic diets that you can do for cancer or for limiting tumor growth is to switch to that thing we were talking about before dinner, like a ketogenic-esque diet, like a diet that's high in fats and low in sugars. And so we're talking about things like coconut oil and avocados and avocado oil and olives and olive oil and wild-caught fish. And to a certain extent, you have to be careful with very, very high amounts of things like beef, chicken, for example. The reason for that is that although high amounts of protein they don't cause cancer like people would cause you to believe, very, very high amounts of some amino acids, if a tumor is already present, can actually aggravate tumor growth. So the idea is that you would want what's called a plant-rich ketogenic diet. One of the or two of the best books, in my opinion, that spell out how to approach cancer from both a cleansing and also a standpoint of cancer being a metabolic issue. One is called Tripping Over the Truth. If I were to ever get cancer, I would go straight to the appendix of that book and follow everything that it goes into, because it goes far above and beyond just eating more fat and less sugar for your mitochondria. It goes into how to enhance the health of the mitochondria with things like oxygen therapy, some of the things we've already talked about, sunlight, air, water, the consideration of the electricity in your environment, all these things that affect mitochondrial health above and beyond just introducing higher amounts of fats and lesser amounts of sugars. And it spells it all out for you. Another book that is somewhat similar, it wasn't written about cancer per se, but it also covers that, is Fat as Fuel, written by Dr. Joe Mercola. That book just came out. And again, fantastic treatise on mitochondria and enhancing the health of your mitochondria, because at its root, when I say cancer is a metabolic disease, cancer is a disease of the mitochondria. So if you build up healthy mitochondria while shutting off the main fuel source that cancer wants, the carcinogenic, the mitochondria of the carcinogenic cells, then what you would want to do is shift to basically a high fat, low sugar diet with a lot of other mitochondrial, you know, hacks thrown in. So yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So when you talk about a high fat diet,
what about the? I mean, first thing that comes to mind is bacon.
Bacon, right?
Yeah.
Think of a better place to start.
Right. Right.
And you know, there's obviously you don't want to fry anything.
In most cases, unless you have an oil that's very, very heat stable, like an avocado oil or a macadamia nut oil, you generally don't want to do much frying.
Oils that you can, obviously. But heating up an oil to knock off the hydrogen turns it into an acid, and that acid can be detrimental to us. So, mm-hmm. you know.
And by the way, you may want to introduce yourself so people know that you actually know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Dr. Guy Wilson, ex-chiropractor, health food store owner, and chemist. So anyway.
Nice. Well, chemist.
I like it. Nice.
So we, anyway, so when you talk about high-fat diet, and I've advocated high-fat diets, no sugar. I haven't bought sugar in 30 years. And, you know, lots of raw vegetables, nuts, fruits, you know, the good stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about fat, there's a problem with people frying it, frying everything. And it's really, it creates an acidic environment for our bodies to have to deal with. And, we, of course, we want to limit the amount of antioxidants we have to put into ourselves to combat the acidic environments that we create ourselves. And so bacon. I mean, I love bacon. Who doesn't? I haven't eaten it in years, but mm-hmm. except maybe tonight I might have had some. But it was good.
Well, I mean, a big part of it is the source of the bacon. You know, good pastured sure. pork without a lot of the toxins stored in the fat. You're still frying. You're still heating an oil, and you do need to limit that. You know, especially if you're already in a state. You know, we were talking about cancer, for example, where the mitochondria and the cellular membranes don't necessarily benefit that much from a high heated oil. Now, when it comes to a high fat diet, I am not an Atkins guy. I am not like a chicken, steak, bacon, eat it if it fits the macronutrient ratio. I'm more about a high amount of plant-based fats.
Avocados, on a
typical,
olives,
yeah, on a typical day, I'm having a whole mess of plants in a blender with some coconut oil and avocado yeah. and almonds thrown in for lunch. Usually another huge plate of vegetables with some sardines or wild-caught fish, some more olives and some olive oil thrown in. And then for dinner, I'll have some kind of like a roasted or sautéed or steamed or boiled or baked or grilled type of meat along with more vegetables and some type of starch. I usually don't have my starches until the end of the day when the metabolism is able to burn through those starches more quickly, just based off of the day's physical activity. So ultimately, plant-based fats or fats that have not been cooked via frying, that's totally doable. And yeah, giving up your bacon might suck, you know, especially if you're one of those paleo CrossFitters out there who has to have their bacon. But I have bacon about once every 2 weeks or so. Off some bacon, you know, and as like a condiment, right? Like mixed with some Brussels sprouts or something like that. Now, bacon is very nutrient dense. It's more nutrient dense than kale, blueberries, like any of those quote unquote superfoods. Bacon actually is incredibly nutrient dense, which I learned at a health symposium a couple of years ago when they actually put up a chart that showed all the different popular foods out there, including a lot of these expensive superfoods. You see the yogis with their shopping carts full of kale pushing through Whole Foods Market. But these the idea is that the bacon is incredibly, incredibly high in just about every nutrient. So so it does have that going for it.
We cooked the Brussels sprouts in bacon that we also cooked in really, really low, 220 degrees heat to make sure that we didn't turn it into a hydrogenated oil. Not even anywhere near the smoke point of the bacon fat.
And you used avocado oil to.
And I mixed it half and half with avocado oil to use averages to raise the smoke point so that I wouldn't test that limit of making it hydrogenized. So I'll give that back to you.
All right.
And it was pastured.
What's that?
It was pastured pork as well.
Oh, that's right. Pastured pork.
Well, I've always said when it comes to health, keep it simple. You know, get the good in and keep the bad out, really. And if you already got some bad in you, find ways to get rid of it.
Yeah, I loved your advice, Guy, you gave me of just 2 tablespoons of flaxseed ground every night. And what an amazing thing for my blood pressure and just better digestion and nice bowel movements, which is always good to have.
Get the good in, get the bad out.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that there are something like 15,000 good fats in there for every 2 tablespoons. So that's great oil. I mean, your heart runs on good oil.
Yeah, and what I like
oil.
About it is, you know, I used to try and do flax oil, and it goes bad so easily. You got to put it in the fridge, and you got to make sure you drink it up quickly or it'll just go bad. You leave in the seed and you don't use it till you grind it up, and then it's perfectly new and fresh and great.
Every time.
Yeah. A wonderful prescription of simplicity.
Well, let's go ahead and delve into a few more questions and give you guys context. You wanted to give us a good hour to have a chat or so, and we've got good 20 minutes. We can just keep on banging away on questions. A little bit of your home. Now, what is this nut butter you just gave me?
That is toasted.
Christopher is describing his nut butter.
Oh.
Toasted Brazil nuts.
Toasted Brazil nuts.
Caprylic acid.
Caprylic acid.
Or MCT8.
Mm-hmm.
Cocoa.
Which is a very high source of ketones. Cocoa.
And coconut oil and ghee.
So this is an example of high fat that's actually healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, right. if you can just stay away from heating them up, you'll just get the best fats you can in your body.
Yeah.
Fats have taken a bad rap.
Here's dessert for anybody. Almond bars.
Yeah. I've got almond bars for dessert.
Yeah, real raw.
River and Taryn, if you guys want some almond bars, you can come on over. What other questions? Mickey, I know you had a notebook. You might have more, but John, I would imagine. And John and Nancy, right?
Becky.
John and Becky. Let's hear if you guys have some questions.
Well, I was just curious. I was just listening to what you were saying, Ben, about the way to treat that breast cancer. And it reminded me of a book I read by Brian Peskins where he was talking about omega-6 oils that are cold-pressed and mm-hmm. the fact that when you take those in, it increases the amount of oxygen and through your body cells, which mm-hmm. I know is another thing that cancer does not like, is a highly oxygenated mm-hmm. environment. And I just wanted to get your viewpoint on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, the main thing is when you're using a lot of those like cold processed or expeller pressed omega-6 based oils, you know, as opposed to an oil, you know, like say like a fish oil that would be very high in omega-3s, you do need to be careful of your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. I mean, in a typical Western diet, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is like 20 to 1 or 10 to 1 or much, much higher than what would be ideal, which is about a 4 to 1 ratio. 4 parts omega-6 fatty acids, such as the kind that you would get from vegetable oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil. You know, you get quite a bit from other things like avocados, you know, olive oil has some in there. But you want to balance that out with high amounts of omega-3 fatty acids, which a lot of people don't get as much of. You know, from things like wild-caught fish and extra virgin olive oil compared to a lot of other nuts and seeds and omega-6 oil. So it's more about the ratio. But if you are consuming omega-6s, absolutely, you want cold-processed, expeller-pressed, like very, very low-heat processed omega-6s. So I'm very much a fan of that. Now, Brian Peskin is not a fan of fish oil, and I also am not a fan of fish oil if the fish oil you're consuming has been exposed to heat or light. Like I told, you know, Chris and I were driving in the car today. I'm like, I'm gonna eat that Ziploc bag full of supplements on your dashboard of your car, are you? Because I noticed like there was a fish oil capsule in there. Taking a bad fish oil or a heated fish oil or a rancid fish oil is worse for you than not taking fish oil at all, because that's what your cell membranes are going to use for their lipid bilayer, is, you know, the damaged fats that they got from something like that.
Do you like krill oil better than fish oil, or do you have any products?
Krill oil is much, much higher in absorbable DHA, mm-hmm. so the type of fat that's very important for brain and neuronal health, but it's about 2 to 4 times higher, depending on the krill oil that you get. But it's 10 times more expensive than fish oil. So if you do the math, why not just double your intake of fish oil and get your DHA that way?
So where do you recommend people get a fish oil that hasn't been, you know, damaged by processing?
You can usually... You can find companies that have cold processed their fish oil. You know, the one that I use is called Super Essentials Fish Oil, but I don't just use it for that reason. I use it because it's packaged with things that prevent oxidation. So if you look at a good fish oil, a lot of times they're black or they're red because they've actually packaged it with things like astaxanthin, which you'd normally find in like the flesh of the salmon that we just ate. But that if they isolate the oils from the salmon without the astaxanthin, that oil is suddenly prone to rancidity. You know, they'll add like extra vitamin E to it as another antioxidant source. So I like a good cold processed fish oil that has antioxidants added to it.
Okay.
So you're getting as close to nature as possible without having to actually go out and eat a whole fish every morning with your smoothie.
Did you have another question?
Yeah, I did actually.
Go right ahead.
By the way, these are great almond bars. We may have to get your recipe on these, Sandy.
Oh, Sandy? I'll put the recipe for his almond bars in the show notes.
Chris says we'll put that recipe in the show notes. There we go. Mickey, go ahead.
Yeah, blood pressure, high blood pressure. I know that's a common thing with people, mm-hmm. and most people just end up taking some kind of synthetic drug to lower that blood pressure because it's difficult.
Right.
Well, supposedly difficult, but I just want to get your take on how to lower mm-hmm. your blood pressure naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. There are two things that I found to be most effective for blood pressure. Number one is high-dose allicin from garlic. You'd have to eat a lot of raw garlic, which is a fermentable vegetable. And that means that you can tend to get a lot of bloating and gas and gastrointestinal issues taking on as much garlic as you actually need. There's one company I'm aware of called Alimax, Allimax. They sell garlic capsules that are chock full of allicin at about 400 to 500 milligrams. And the dosage for high blood pressure is around 600 plus per day. So you do like one of those in the morning, one of those in the evening. The other is a handheld device. So we all know that like when you get high blood pressure, a lot of times like they'll make those Chinese stress balls that you can grip and release. This operates on the same idea as that, except it's more modern and quantified. It's called a Zona, Z-O-N-A. And every day you squeeze it and release, and it trains you how to squeeze and release, but you're actually, it's measuring via a digital window that walks you through like the 5 minutes of training each day. And they've shown in clinical studies that this reduces blood pressure if you use it each day. So it doesn't fix the low blood. A lot of times fixing the low blood pressure is stress control and sleep and lowering cortisol and managing the things that you would imagine would give you high blood pressure. But the idea behind this device is it's like a daily training that you do, almost like exercise, to actually train your body how to naturally lower blood pressure. And anything that opens up blood vessels is good. You know, beets, arugula, watermelon, you know, the type of things that increase your, you know, they're like Viagra for your whole body, right? Like they increase nitric oxide. Those are pretty helpful as well. Chris, he even has his hand up. Wow.
Ben, how about that ice cold pool you've been having me jump in for 3 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chris and I have been doing a little bit of what's called cold thermogenesis, or basically getting cold in the water out there. That's also enormously beneficial for nitric oxide, you know, especially when, you know, Chris jumped in the hot tub, then the cold pool, then the hot tub, then the cold pool. So you can do the same with a hot cold contrast shower, right? Like take a 5 minute shower, 20 seconds cold, 10 seconds hot, that type of thing. But that also causes a big rush of nitric oxide because you have to vasodilate and then vasoconstrict muscles over and over again. You know, heat is very interesting. They just published a new clinical study out of Finland showing, you know, it was by the same researcher that showed that Finnish men who visit the sauna 4+ times per week have a significantly higher level of longevity than the men who do not, because of all the effects of heat exposure, including the fact that heat is a mild stress to the body, in the same way that eating wild plants that churn out a very small amount of toxins actually are a mild hormetic stress that can increase longevity. Which means, by the way, based on the fact that we ate a bunch of stuff that we thought was wild asparagus that poisoned us all the other night, we're going to live a really long time. But the idea is that it increases longevity significantly by visiting a sauna, preferably even like an infrared sauna, you know, returns to the light that we were talking about. But the same researcher just came out with a study. The longevity increase was massive. This new study is even more massive. It shows decreased prevalence of Alzheimer's in people who visit the sauna 4+ times per week by 60%. Wow. Amazing, amazing. And it all comes down to making your body mildly uncomfortable every day with stressors of cold and stressors of heat. It's one of the best things you can do for your body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go hunting. Yeah. You're going to get hot, you're going to get cold. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so let's do a few more questions. Let's do two more questions.
Okay, I was just going to ask. I do a lot of kefir mm-hmm. and kombucha, and with the attitude that you know, the terrain of our where we live, what we do in our body is probably, it's easier to keep it up than to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is your thought on things like kefir and kombucha?
Yeah,
and
sure. Fermented, you know, foods? Fermented beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I like them for some people. So there is a condition called small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Many people will know if they have it because they'll get just like gas and bloating from everything from garlic and onions to wheat to just about any fermentable carbohydrate source. In those people, they sometimes have to stop high amount of probiotic intake,
high amount of fermented food intake because it can cause excessive gut fermentation and really aggravate that issue in some people. Then they gradually reintroduce it back to the diet. But SIBO is incredibly common. It can be diagnosed via a breath test that you can order to your own house, and you drink this nasty little sugar solution, and then you blow into a tube, and it measures your gas responses to that sugar solution over the course of a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And you know, if it's above X parts per million, you could have SIBO. And if you also have bloating and gas and constipation, things like that, it's a pretty good guess that you do. That's one population that doesn't really benefit, or there's more cons than pros to eating fermented food until they kind of get that out of their system. Mm-hmm. The other thing about fermented foods, though, is that when you compare them to probiotics, they're very high in a wide variety of bacteria. You know, when you stick your finger in the dirt and lick it, which one of my friends does whenever he gets to like a new locale to kind of begin to train his body to deal with the environment in that locale and to introduce the local flora into his body, he'll just like bend down and lick the dirt, you know, from a clean source, you know, not like in the middle of Bangkok next to the sewer outlet, but you know, if you're out in a park or something like that. Now, the idea behind bacteria from kefir and kombucha and sauerkraut and kimchi and all these different, you know, even, you know, yogurt and raw milk, is that you get a very wide variety of bacteria and a diverse array of bacteria, which is very important for gut health. Whereas you look at the average probiotic, it might have 3 to 7 different strains in it. And if you eat a spoonful of kimchi or sauerkraut and have a little raw milk here and there and some kefir here and there, you're literally getting hundreds of different strains of bacteria. So they're actually superior to probiotic capsules, assuming that you don't have like that gut fermentation issue. Mm-hmm. So I'm a definite fan. And a lot of people who can't handle normal dairy that's been pasteurized or homogenized do just fine with the dairy that has all its natural bacteria present, because they digest lactose to a certain extent as well. So, yeah. Oh, there we go. Boom.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And one more thing. We have a big garden, so I do canning. I've heard from a lot of people that once it's been in the jar, it's all jar, but it doesn't have near the food value.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily have to high heat pasteurize it if it's in the jar, but you're going to lose. I mean, if you've been properly boiling and everything, you're going to kill some of the bacteria. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But you can still can and preserve fermented foods and still have some good probiotics in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. By the way, what is this milk that you just gave me here, Chris?
This goat?
This is Jersey raw milk from a cow?
It's phenomenal.
That's right. Cow's milk. Oh, that's tasty.
Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else want some? I'll have some.
I probably won't drink that whole glass. People want to take a sip. Let's go ahead and go with another question if you have a doozy.
I'm just curious because you're hearing so much of the autoimmune diseases, and and of course I'm reading that they think a lot of them are attributed to a leaky gut syndrome, and I just want to know what you think about that.
It is true. I think the more pressing question is, what do you do about it, right? The fact that so many people have undigested proteins leaking into their gut or leaking into their blood through their gut, causing autoimmune reactions and a hypersensitive immune system. Well, I mean, the logic conclusion is that rather than shutting down the immune system with drugs or naltrexone or any of the things that are temporary fixes for autoimmune issues, you heal up the lining or the barrier of the gut. There are some things that I really, really like for that. Probably at the top of my list is colostrum. You know, there's lots of it in this raw milk. You can buy it in capsule form. You can get it in liquid form or powder form. It's the same thing that a mother's breast milk has in it. So it heals up the lining of a child's gut, which is why children have been born via C-section. They've got slightly weaker guts and slightly higher risk of autoimmune issues. Although nowadays, you know, they'll do things like, repopulate the gut as soon as they're born with some flora from mom's vaginal canal and colostrum and things like that. But colostrum is very, very good for healing up a leaky gut. Bone broth also works very well. Very high amounts of glutamine and glycine and all sorts of things that are really nourishing to the lining of a gut. So bone broth is another one that I like. There's another, like a supplement called glutamine. And glutamine is just an amino acid. And that's kind of like a holy trilogy of helping to heal a leaky gut, is getting your hands on like colostrum or raw dairy, getting some glutamine into your system, and then drinking, you know, a couple cups of bone broth each day. So
just curious, now would you consider gluten as being one of the key factors that causes a leaky gut syndrome, or is there something else?
No, it's more the glyphosate in the wheat. than it is the gluten itself. Gluten is a natural protein. You can digest gluten. You might not be able to digest gluten from a modern commercially grown crop that's bred for, you know, higher yield that tends to have more concentrated amounts of gluten. But your body, you know, from like a nice fermented sourdough bread or from the trace amounts found in like a nice einkorn or a red palouse wheat or something like that, most people's bodies, assuming their lymph systems are working okay and their guts are pretty solid, they can handle gluten just fine. But then once you introduce glyphosate, that can break down the gut wall and the gut lining, you know, the same way that breaks down, you know, the insects and pesticides and things like that. So, it's more the glyphosate and the gluten source than it is the gluten.
Glyphosate, you correct me, is that we're talking about Roundup?
Yeah, Roundup. Yeah. God bless Monsanto.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. What? Go ahead, Sandy.
I just recently purchased some Special K. I hadn't gotten any Special K in years, and I thought I'd try it. And then I just saw a post on Facebook the day after I bought it that said it was one of the highest glyphosate foods in the market. It's 72 ppb measured. And so I quickly finished that off with a little bit of a guilty conscience. But I started getting symptoms of a snivelly nose and cough, which, you know, I used to think was due to my wheat allergy, but I think it was due to the exposure to glyphosate. So
it's an issue. All right, we got one more question, so we'll take it.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
So I've eaten chicken quite a few times with a lot of different people, but I've never eaten chicken where someone finished up the meat and then actually ate the bones.
I was just curious what's going on. We'll use a whole chicken carcass to make bone broth, and then my wife will take the chicken carcass and leave it there in the crock pot for an extra 24 hours or so to make the bone soft enough, and then I put them on a cast iron skillet, and I'll put some olive oil on there and some sea salt and black pepper and eat those. And the reason is because, you know, I'm still racing as a professional athlete. My joints get beat up. My body needs bone marrow, and it needs a lot of the amino acids and the things that you find in the connective tissue of animals. Mm. And frankly, when you're talking about eating an animal nose to tail, right? We ate heart tonight. We ate bone tonight. I mean, if it is an edible, absorbable part of the animal and it's a clean animal, right? I will eat as many parts of that animal as possible. One of the reasons that I'll tend to do bones is because I know so many people want the meat, and I'm pretty happy with just like picking and I like the meat that's close to the bones anyway. So, you know, I'm that guy that's gnawing on like the bone in part of a bone in ribeye steak until that bone's picked completely clean. And I'll give half the ribeye steak away. Somebody else just go after the part that's next to the bone. Or same thing with chicken, right? I'll grab the extra bony parts that normally nobody eats, and I'll literally just eat as many of those bones as possible, knuckles down to the center until you get to the point where you can't chew on the bone anymore. And I mean, it for me, I'd rather do that than go spend $100 on a good bottle of like glucosamine chondroitin or some joint, you know, what else do they sell you? MSM and all these different things for the joints that you get straight out of bone and bone marrow. So it's one of those things. And this will probably be a kind of cool point to finish on because it returns full circle to nature, and it's nature's signature, right? Nature's signature. So, eating the eye of a fish is actually really, really good for your ocular health, as is eating eggs, which actually kind of look like an eye when you crack them open, right? And you think about it. Walnuts, right? Fantastic source of fatty acids that are wonderful for your nervous system health. Mm. And when you crack open a walnut, it kind of looks like a little brain, which is interesting. You look at things like oysters and clams. They're great for female libido and sexual health. I'll let your mind go where it wants to with that one. But and the same can be said for males, right? Celery, carrots, even avocados, which is, you know, that's known as like the testicle tree. I mean, because I'm not trying to be crass, but they look like a couple of testicles. You know, when you set two avocados next to each other, or, you know, celery looks like an erection. You begin to look at all these things in nature, and they give us clues about, you know, sexual health and bone health and eye health. And so, yeah, it is really interesting. And I think it's a great way to live, to look at a plant, you know, and ask, hey, what is that plant offering me? Mm. You just have to be careful. You know, funny story about that wild asparagus. We were so proud of ourselves. We went on a hike, you know, up to the top of Sandy's property, and we thought we had found ourselves just this gold mine full of wild asparagus. And we brought it back, and Chris had a big vat of bear bone broth here in the kitchen. We were like, we're going to put this wild asparagus in the bear bone broth. And
you know, I was talking about Nature Signature, and asparagus is known for improving sexual health in men, you know, same way that again, like carrots and celery can do. For us, however, it turned out to be, I believe it was called brassica, I think is the name of it, incredibly high in the molecules that interact with the nicotine receptors in your body. So we essentially all got the equivalent of overdosing on nicotine. Many of us were throwing up all night. Chris and I had done some CBD prior to eating the bone broth, and so we actually didn't get sick. We think maybe these cannabinoid receptors were kind of like blocking some of the nicotine from the wild asparagus. But anyways, everybody, you know, I think Sandy got 2 hours of sleep that night because he was puking his guts out. And my kids learned an important lesson about wild foraging.
Sure,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Everything else we wild forage, we were successful with, but the wild asparagus.
White indigo is the street.
White indigo. Yeah, white indigo. Careful with that one. Well, you guys, thanks for coming to dinner. That was a cool chat. And whenever I record stuff like this, I put it on my website. So it's there if you guys want to listen. I know it's Chris taking comprehensive notes over here. But once I put this on the web, it'll just be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/lifewater. Ton of notes here. Get to read Chris's chicken scratch. But yeah. So, and if you guys have questions, I've got my email address out on those cards and stuff. If you want to pick my brain about any of this stuff, but hopefully you learned a thing or two. And thanks to you, Sandy, for the awesome explanation of the vibe and the water and for this amazing ranch. Thanks to you, Chris, for cooking up heart and chicken and steelhead and mashed potatoes and Brussels sprouts and salad and bones. Yeah. And thank you everybody for listening in. And again, you can get the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/lifewater. And hopefully you didn't get too hungry during this episode listening to us all eat. Have a healthy week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.